It is exciting. You know, I've just been preparing the next 3 months, really, the autumn term of preaching, and we're going to continue with Luke. We're going to continue with Luke. And am I on? Yeah. And do you know, I was so excited. I was looking through the subject. We've got the Beatitudes, we've got the Sermon on the Mount, we've got just epically cool stuff coming. So get excited, because Luke is just so good. What Jesus does is just so brilliant. So brilliant. Give me 2 minutes. So, were you excited last week? Yeah, it was cool. It was so cool. So Jeremy Simpkins, I realise what the apostolic gifting is now. I think he got us. I think really, and that was an exciting word about springs and the different meanings of spring. And I'm excited. I'm excited about what God is going to do in Blackburn. I'm excited what God is going to do in Lancashire. I'm excited about what God is going to do in this country. It sounds like we're in a real state at the moment, isn't it? But actually, God does stuff to just glorify. I'm really, really excited. Yeah, really, really excited. And I'm excited about what Jesus was doing in Luke. So previously we talked about, basically Jesus is rampaging. He's rampaging against Satan. He's defeated Satan in the wilderness. He's casting out demons. He's healing the sick. He's declared war on the powers of darkness. Yeah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bring good news to those who are poor. He's rampaging. He's mashing it up. He's fantastic. And then last week we talked about the man with leprosy, didn't we? Which is feels appropriate today a little bit. I think it was a prophetic eye infection for this week. But this guy was—I don't have leprosy, I don't think, Angela. Anyway, but this guy was totally, totally broken. Yeah, his health, his relationships with his community and with God—he was—he was a social outcast. Yeah, and we actually still use the same term today, social leper. Somebody who's just an outcast. It's the word, he had leprosy. And also, he was looked frightening. He was a frightening guy to be with. And again, he would have been considered that his trials and tribulations were his own fault. It was judgment from God. And he comes to Jesus, who is, remember, Jesus, the word Luke uses, sozo, which is saviour and healer. Saviour and healer. And he comes to Jesus, this guy with leprosy. And he's begging. He's begging to be healed by Jesus. And asks him if Jesus is willing. And the good news is, whatever your life is like, how broken, how messed up, Jesus was willing. Yes. He was willing to come and touch this guy who must have been frightening and considered unclean and all sorts of things, and it was his own fault. And Jesus was willing. Do you know what? If your life is totally broken, yeah, Jesus is willing. There's nothing. There is nothing that you can have done in your life that will stop Jesus being willing to come into your life if you're willing. And the God of the universe is willing.
Yes.
And the man is healed instantly. It's amazing. Instantly. And he's restored socially, or would have been started to. And then he's restored spiritually. So he's told to go and see the priests at the temple, and he would have been able to worship again. And the bit I probably miss is, you know what? As followers of Jesus, we're obligated to do the same.
Yes.
Yeah, if we need to be willing to walk into people's lives and touch the broken with the power of Jesus. Yeah? That's a challenge, isn't it? Because they're messy at broken people, aren't they? Really, really messy. But that's what Jesus wants us to do. Yeah? So Luke chapter 5, verse 17. Now, this is where Satan, who's been getting a clobbering, starts his fight back. So this is Satan's fight back. And what happens, Satan must have sat there and thought, right, I can't tempt Jesus if I can't get him to sin. What I'm going to do is I'm going to change tactics and I'm going to work on the people around him. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to work on the people of religion that are around him. If I can't subvert Jesus, I'm going to start subverting other people. And what starts happening? Jesus continues to heal. He continues to preach. And these guys, these teachers and officials of the law, they start to follow Jesus where he goes, Luke says. And they're watching him. They're watching him to catch him out. They're watching him to catch him out. They're coming with what they are cynics. A cynical spirit. They have something, a pharisaical spirit. Yeah, so they're just cynical. So even though he is doing good, we need to find something to knock him down and stop him doing good. I suffer from this. Do you have a pharisaical spirit? Are you a cynic? I'm a cynic. Oh, when good is happening... Yeah, oh, but they've got this problem over here, or they don't get this right, or whatever. Yeah? But that's what's happening. They're watching Jesus to take him down. And that comes from a deep pride. It's a judgmental spirit. Anybody struggle with a judgmental spirit? We've been talking about it in house group quite a lot, with judgmental spirits, yeah? Independence from God. And these were these guys that are following Jesus. And Luke, the next story Luke tells is a guy who's paralyzed. So these cynical guys are here, these Pharisee guys, and physically this guy was paralyzed. He couldn't move. He was led on a mat. So he's, I imagine he spent most of his life like that. Yeah? Unable to move physically. But he has mates, and he has friends. This is really interesting. And his friends try to get him to Jesus. And it reminded me often, do you have people you love that you just can't get to Jesus? You just can't get to... There was a bit like these guys. There was somebody here who needed healing, but they were trying to get him to Jesus. Yeah, and these guys go an incredible way to get this paralyzed guy to Jesus. And they couldn't get him to Jesus because the crowd was too big. You know, often people struggle to come to church because the crowd is too big. Yeah? But these guys were persistent. His friends were persistent. So persistent that they got this guy, they took him to a paralyzed guy to the top of the roof, which is a little bit, well, he's quite persistent really. So imagine somebody who's like paraplegic and got him on top of the roof. Then they take the roof off, like the tears off. Now that is quite persistent really, isn't it? That is faith, yeah, and they lower this guy down into the crowd. Not only that, they're very un-British, his mates, because they jumped the queue. I imagine there would have been a queue to see Jesus, wouldn't there? But actually, no. So these guys are not British. They take me, they bring this guy down. What faith these guys had. They lower him down. And do you know what Jesus sees? He sees their faith. Yeah, their faith. Yeah, Jesus sees their faith. The faith of his mates. Yeah, they say, wow, the faith is made. And the faith of him. If you are praying for a family member, if you are praying for a friend, if you are praying for somebody that you want to get them to Jesus, can I just say, just like this story, just like this guy's mates, be persistent. Be persistent. These guys took off the roof to get their friend to Jesus and jump the queue. Yeah? Keep praying, keep going. Yeah. Anyway, so what happens? This paralyzed guy gets lowered down. Yeah. Can you imagine there'd be a big rumpus because he just jumped the queue? Yeah. And then he wants to be healed. And let's just see what Jesus does. So Jesus says, "I forgive your sins." You'd be gutted, wouldn't you? Because clearly, God into taking off the roof, jumped the queue, and taken him to be healed. But actually, what did Jesus do first? Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. That's weird, that, isn't it? Yeah? Often we want to be healed and then we work on our sins. But interestingly, I think sometimes Jesus wants us to deal with our sin and come to him, and that will break through with healing. Yeah, both emotionally, spiritually, and physically. It's very interesting, isn't it? And then there's outrage. Outrage. Who does Jesus think he is forgiving sins? It's because it's God who forgives sins. So if in this context, if you forgave sin, you'd either be a nutter, you were mad, and you do it in front of the priests and the officials, and you'd be in so much, and they're outraged, and they're watching him, they're outraged. And then God says, Jesus says, to prove I have the authority to do both, because he does, he heals the man. And he says, stand up and walk. And this is what it says. And immediately, as everybody watched, the man jumped up, picked up his mat, and walked home, praying God. Everyone was great wonder. And when they prayed, exclaimed, we have seen amazing things today. Is that an exciting story? Yeah, if you have friends, be persistent. Be like this dude's friends. Yeah, if you are feeling paralysed by life, by whatever, Jesus can heal you. Yeah, he might want to deal with your sin first, but he can heal you. And do you know what this guy did when he was healed? He praised God, and there was awe and amazement. That is exciting, isn't it? God is the same today, yesterday, and in the future. Yeah, do you believe that? Do you believe that? But people were outraged. They were angry. The Pharisees were angry. And then what happens next? So next after this, Jesus, he's digging an hole for himself here. He's just not helping himself at all. So the next thing, he meets a guy called Levi, right? Which sounds like a nice rabbinical name, Levi, really, like some jeans or something like that. But actually, this guy was a bad, nasty dude. He was corrupt. He wasn't deserving anything. He was a tax collector. The equivalent of a tax collector, I think, he'd be deemed as a drug dealer. I think. No, he would. I think he would be that kind of scale of badness. Yeah, he wasn't nice people, these, at all. Yeah, at all. And he meets this guy called Levi, or Matthew, and he says to this drug dealer, stroke tax collector, yeah, he said, come and follow me. Now, what would you expect, like, a drug dealer to do? Nothing, would you? It's like, he's like a really bad man. It's like, but this guy, he doesn't tell us why, but he says, Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Again, doesn't matter who you are. Yeah, Jesus wants you to follow him. There's nothing. This guy was bad. He was so bad. Yeah? But he said, follow me, and he did. That's good news, isn't it? Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter what you've been, doesn't matter what you're doing at this present moment, because he's collecting taxes, Jesus wants you to follow him. Yeah, be like Levi. You know those things you see on Facebook, Bobby does this, be like Bob, be like Levi, be like, not another bad stuff about following Jesus. Yeah, definitely. And he does, and Jesus transformed his life. And then Jesus continues to dig a hole for himself with the authorities and the priests, because this guy, Levi, Matthew, yeah, decides to hold a massive party with dodgy mates, right, and invites Jesus. So imagine, like, I can't imagine what equivalent today would be, for just like an acid house party or something. Yeah, but he invites all his dodgy mates, and he's not embarrassed about this. Is it actually? He invites all his dodgy mates, but Matthew is not embarrassed about having Jesus as the guest of honour. Yeah, that's mad when you think about that. Are you sometimes embarrassed about having Jesus as a guest of honour with your mates? Full on, innit? Yeah, but anyway, Matthew doesn't seem to be bothered. But anyway, he invites Jesus to this dodgy, massive party and makes Jesus the guest of honour. Jesus clearly didn't sin in this, yeah? And there's Pharisees, these guys, Pharisees and the teachers of the religious law, and they stood outside and they complained to Jesus. Get this, this is like the English version, so I dread to think what it was in the original text. He says, "Why do you eat and drink with such scum?" That's what they said. Scum. And Jesus answered, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent." I often think, if Jesus was here now, I feel a bit sorry for the Pharisees, because we'd expect Jesus to hang about with us, wouldn't we? We would. We'd expect him to come to church and be with us, which I think he would. He did go to the synagogues, but we wouldn't expect him to go to the postal order, would we? No, we wouldn't. Outside McDonald's. That's where Jesus would go. I think Jesus would spend some of his time where the unhealthy people were. They're spiritually. And do you know what? Actually, those guys often are closer to God because they know they are sinners. They know we're messed up. Nice white middle class people often don't know how messed up they are. Yeah, seriously. And again, these people were judgmental. So again, Romans in house group. The story in Romans is a church judging each other. Yeah, judgmental spirit. So they were judging these people. And again, we need to understand about forgiveness. They represented God, these priests and Pharisees, but they couldn't forgive. And then Jesus talks about new wine. Yeah? Jesus says some weird stuff. Yeah, have you ever read? Like, what is he saying? What was he talking about? New wine? What's this? But I think what he's saying, do you know what? Actually, people are happy often with the life that they're living. The old wine or what they're living. I'm alright. So actually, most people in the UK say, "I don't need Jesus, I don't need God, because I'm okay. Yeah, I've got my house, got my job, got my dog, I'm got my kids, got work to whatever, yeah, I'm happy." But actually, they prefer the old wine, they prefer just a really boring, dull existence. And actually, Jesus is offering the new wine of him coming into your life. Yeah, if you think you're okay, you're not. Yeah, Jesus has so much more to give you in life. So much more. New wine. And I think that's what Jesus is saying. Yeah. And then he gets into trouble because his disciples start does the crime of rubbing the heads off wheat. Yeah, and the Pharisees are following him, and they say to him, why are you breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath? They're all concerned about rules and regulations and questions about rules and regulations. And these guys are like, have you ever met a Christian that's just got themselves tied in knots with rules and regulations? Have you ever met people like that? Yeah, people, what about this? Is it right to go to the cinema? Is it wrong to go to the cinema? Can I do this? Am I allowed to do this? What about this? Have you ever met people like that? Yeah, it's not about that. It's not about that. Christians wasting their time arguing about stuff that is just not relevant. Yeah, it's not. Do you know what? What matters is not the rules, but there are rules. There is a way to live a Christian life, but it's about the relationship with Jesus and God. That's what it's about. Yeah, that's what it's about. And that's what their heart was. Rules, regulations, earn my way to Jesus, whatever. Who cares? Yeah. If you do it for God's glory, it's good. Yeah? And you can't glorify God through sinning. And then we get to the story that I'm going to talk about today. Don't worry, I'm not going to be too long. Yeah. Do you want to put it up on the overhead, Abigail? It's really interesting. I have a really dodgy eye today when I'm talking about this. It's very odd. Yeah. So he says, Luke chapter 6, verse 6. So he says, on another Sabbath day, a man with a deformed right hand was in the synagogue while Jesus was teaching. The teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees watched Jesus closely. Again, they're watching. Always watching closely. If he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. So let's get in the rules and regulations. But Jesus knew their thoughts. And he said to the man with the deformed hand, come and stand in front of everyone. So he's doing it very publicly. He wants to get himself in trouble here. Yeah? Come and stand in front of everyone. So the man came forward. Then Jesus said to his critics, I have a question for you. Does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath, or is it a day for doing evil? Is this a day to save a life or to destroy it? So he looked at them one by one. So imagine this big crowd, and Jesus looks at them one by one. It would take him some time, actually, depending on how. But he looked at them one by one and said to the man, hold out your hand. Yes. So the man held out his hand, yes, and it was restored. At this, the enemies of Jesus were wild with rage and began to discuss what to do with him. That's what we're going to be preaching at. I'm going to invite Christiana to come up and just share a testimony. Please, oh, let me get it.
Well, I grew up going to church from being very small. I went to a traditional Anglican church. I went twice on a Sunday. I was in the choir until I got to about 16. And then I started going out on a Saturday night and not really wanting to go to church on a Sunday morning. But I believed in God. I still believed in God. But my church going day sort of were on hold. I got married. I had my first daughter. Nice life, like you say. I'm so quite happy. Husband, child, expecting my second baby. And then that's where things went wrong, because we had a little boy who was born. He would have been celebrating his 40th next Saturday with Lisa. We had a little boy who was born dead. And that was horrendous, as you can imagine. Because I had another daughter, she was two, I had actually started going to a mums and babies group at a local church up at Church Redeemer, and I'd got to know some of the women there, and I'd grown up knowing the stories about Jesus and going to church and following the rules, but it wasn't until I met this group of women that I actually realised that Jesus actually was real. These women had a relationship with Jesus. And sometimes on a Sunday, if Jeff was working, rather than be at home on my own, I'd go to church, but purely to meet with these Christian women that I'd grown friendly with. So when the baby died, turned to a friend, and she sort of said to me, you know, there's somebody who can heal that hurt, because I'd sort of get up in the morning and for a split second everything would be all right, and then suddenly it would hit you, no, it's not all right and it'll never be all right again, and I'd be crying and I'd be going out, I couldn't stand to be in the house, I'd be going places, really, I suppose, looking for something to make me feel okay, and I'd get where I was going, and I didn't want to be there because it was no different, and I'd go back home again, and I'd get up in the night and I'd be crying, and you know, people say, well, you know, one day you'll see him again, and I think, well, yeah, but that might be a long time off and I can't wait that long, and what about this pain? And this friend had said to me, you know, somebody can take that pain away, and that somebody's Jesus. Now, when I was a teenager and going out on a Sunday night, used to catch the last bus home on the boulevard, and by Victoria Statue, there used to be people would stand and preach. And people would ridicule them and sort of shout things at them. And I used to be, I'd never joined in on that because it wasn't right, but I was so embarrassed for them. Thinking, oh, this is awful. How can they stand there like that preaching? So when my friend said, you know, Jesus can heal you, I had visions of these people standing on the boulevard preaching and thinking, oh no, I'm not going to become one of those. But eventually, it was one night and I thought, God, I can't stand this anymore. And I prayed knowing that God would hear me, because I'd seen in these women's lives that Jesus actually was real. And so I prayed, God, if you will take away this pain, I will spend the rest of my life finding out what you want of me. Now, I didn't suddenly get a sense of peace or anything else, and I didn't have any vision or anything. That was it. But I just knew that God had heard. And it was probably a couple of weeks later, and I thought, actually, I've not cried. And God healed me like that. Instantly. And we're only talking, I mean, it was end of July when baby was born. And we're only probably talking about October. And it went. The pain just went. And I kept my side of the bargain. It's right, okay, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to find out about this Jesus. I'm going to see what he wants from me. And fast forward a few years, and we used to have gospel healing nights up at the surgery on Shadsworth, and somebody would preach and then pray for healing, and I believe that God healed people, but if you wanted me to pray for somebody to be healed, that would have been a bit different, because, like, well, I don't know, yeah, he heals, but I don't know, just a bit wary. And I was sitting there one night next to a woman who I'd known for years. She was a friend of my mum's. And she'd lost her son tragically at about 30. And I'm sitting there listening to whoever was preaching. And I just became sort of like, shut up. Get on with it. I've got to pray for this woman. She's broken-hearted, and God can heal broken hearts. Now, Stephen this morning, I know, has got a prescription off Angela for his eye. Because, yeah, God heals, but God heals through medicine. You'll get some antibiotics and his eye will be healed. You've got a broken arm, you go and have it set in pot, and generally speaking, it's healed. Cancer, God, we know it's God heals, but there's chemo and all the rest of it, and you go through that. But what do you give for a broken heart? Is there a tablet? Is there a bandage you can put on it? There is absolutely nothing that medicine can do for a broken heart. And so I sat there, willing this man to shut up so that I could pray for this woman, because Jesus heals broken hearts. And nobody else, there's nothing else. People say time heals. Now, I don't believe that. I think time puts distance between you and whatever's broken your heart, so that you get on with your life. But you hear people and they'll say it can be years later and suddenly something hits them and the pain's just as bad. I have never experienced heartache regarding my baby dying since God healed me. It hasn't, and I can relive it. You know, I think in some instances God removes memories because memories are painful. But for me, those are the only memories I had of him being born dead. So God didn't take away that memory, but healed it. And never again have I experienced that pain at that event. It's God healed my broken heart, and God can heal your broken heart. No doctor, no tablet, nothing can heal a broken heart. But Jesus heals broken hearts. And if your heart's broken today, God wants to heal you. And it can be instant. It doesn't have to be, you know, it's God's time span and some people don't get healed instantly. But for me, it was a matter of weeks. And God healed my broken heart, and the rest of it's history. And I've loads more I could say about what God's done since, but that's it for now.
Amen. God can do that. Yeah, but we just see what he does with this guy. So he said, verse 6, on another Sabbath day, a man with a deformed right hand was in the synagogue while Jesus was teaching. So this guy, a little bit like Christiana, was in a spiritual place. So he was allowed to be part of worship. So he clearly was seeking God, and he was in a spiritual place. I mean, unlike the man with leprosy, his life was not on the surface completely broken. Yeah, it wasn't completely broken. It wasn't a complete mess. But there was something that was physically wrong with him. Something, some part of his body, which was his hand, was not functioning properly. It was broken. Yeah? An issue or area in the life, in his life, was broken. And it never tells us why the guy's hand was deformed. The Bible doesn't tell us. But it could have been broken in life. It could have been, because before modern medicine, if you remember watching an archaeology program, and actually they were digging up this skeleton and this body, and he had broken legs, and they said that he must have been hit by a horse or hit by something, and of course, because they couldn't set it properly or deal with it properly or antibiotics, it was broken. Yeah, and he was never right again. So this guy could have had a deformed hand because of the difficulties and what had happened in his life. Yeah, and often the breakages in our life are caused by the circumstances in our life. Yeah. Life may have broken a part of him. In Christiana's case, it was grief. It was loss of a child. It can be many things that break you. It can be divorce. It can be trauma. It can be some traumatic event that's happened in your life. It can be bereavement. Yeah? Bereavement can just damage your life. There's all sorts of things. All sorts of things can damage your life and break your life and make it function not properly. So verse 7 says, the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees watched Jesus closely. If he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. So the Pharisees want to stop Jesus from healing. They don't want this guy to be healed. In fact, they're just observing Jesus to see whether he's going to break the rules and regulations about healing. Christians can often get themselves into big trouble for offering healing in life. Angela will probably testify to that, yeah? How dare we pray for the sick? How dare we say that the answers to life's problems in people who are not Christians are down to their lack of relationship with Jesus? How dare we? Same today. Christiana needed counselling. So if you've gone to a GP, they might have put her on medication, which is fine. But actually, she was broken. There was part of her life that was broken. Christiana needed to be healed by Jesus. And what she needed was a relationship with Jesus. Yeah? Outrageous. But Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said to the man with the deformed hand, come and stand. I'm going to invite Christiana up, actually. To stand in front of everyone, just like this. So the man came forward, and then Jesus said to his critics, I have a question for you. Does the law permit good deeds on a Sabbath, or is it a day for doing evil? Is this a day to save a life or destroy it? This story is in Mark's Gospel as well, actually. And Jesus could see into the Pharisees' heart. He could see that they were not for good. Not for good. Do you know what? Jesus is only for good. Yes. Yes. He really is. You can trust him. He is only for good. He only had good for this man. And he looked round at one of them, and one by one, and said to the man, hold out your hand. Hold out your hand. Yeah? This morning, I want to ask you, is there an area of your life that needs restoring? Is there something that's not operating right in your life? So you're not totally broken, but there's stuff, a little bit like my eye, is there something that is not operating, something emotionally, something physically, something spiritually? Is there something like this guy's hand that may have been damaged through life that is not functioning? It might be hurt. It might be grief. It might be something terrible that's happened in your life. Just that happened to you. It can be a physical thing. It can be an issue with mental health. Yeah? Mental health mainly is caused by just the carnage of life. Life is hard. It's hard and traumatic. It could be the scars of life, like this guy with his hand. And do you know what? This morning I want to ask you, do you know, Jesus said to this guy, like Christiana, hold out your hand. Yeah? So, if that resonates with you this morning, I just want to have a time of prayer. I want you to just hold out your hand to Jesus. Yeah? And do you know what? Jesus can heal you. Yeah? We're just going to have a prayer. So if you want, we want prayer, you want to hold out your hand. If there's an area of your life that's broken, hold out your hand. And those that are not, can you pray for people around you? Yeah, we're just going to have a time of prayer. But do you know what? Jesus wants to heal that broken area of your life. Whatever it is. Lord Jesus, we just thank you, the God. You're the God that is only good. Come, Holy Spirit, just come and minister. Come and heal the broken bits of our lives, Lord Jesus. We just realize we hold out our hands to you, Lord Jesus, whether it's unforgiveness, whether it's anger, whether it's just disappointment, whether it's physical, we just say, Lord, just come and heal us. Come and heal us. Thank you. Let me just read the next bit to you. This is what happened when Jesus came. So he said, Jesus said, hold out your hand. And verse 10 said, so the man held out his hand. Held out his hand. And it was restored. Exclamation mark.
Something beautiful, something good, all my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he's made something beautiful of my life. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he's made something beautiful of my life. Jesus, thank you that you make broken things new. You make beauty from ashes. And Father, I just want to pray this morning for people here whose lives are broken, who look around and see ash. Lord, that you'd make something beautiful. Father, I think last week Jeremy Simpkins and that thing with the Japanese pots, broken pots that have gold in the glue that puts them together. Father, thank you that your glory is shown through broken pots. Jesus, bring your healing to this place today. Because you are a God of love and compassion, and you long for broken people to be made whole. Come by your Spirit and do it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're just reading the story in the Bible. That's all we're doing. Yeah, and as we've said a few weeks before, you can have certainty. This is why this document was written. This is why Luke was written. So Theophilus, it said, Dear Theophilus, I am writing this to you so that you can be certain of the facts. Certain. Yeah, and Jesus really does heal today. He heals that brokenness. He didn't just care about this guy. He cares about you. He really cares. Yeah. So we're going to finish there. Yeah. But if I'll hand back to Pete. But if you want prayer, any more prayer at the end of the service for anything, come to the front. Be prayed for. Because Jesus really can heal. He really can heal, just like Christiana, just like this guy, the breakages of life. Amen.